Star Wars, Everything Changes, Part 4 of 4, a sequel to the Nothing Changes audio drama from Razor's Edge Audio, by Nathan Butler. Chapter 9, Brothers. Corso charged through the tunnel to the central chamber with all the speed his muscles and the force could muster. Until today, the idea of Darius Kova meeting his death at the hands of some brute would have brought a perverse smile to his face. Now he found himself willing himself to remain calm, even as he wished his will alone could shift the balance of the cosmos and force Darius to still be alive. Finally, he came to the central chamber. As he approached the lip of the tunnel, Corso leaped, planting his feet into one side of the tunnel and launching off with the force, sailing in a somersault through the air before landing mere feet away from the Yezenvong warrior, his blade humming a war cry even as he screamed his own challenge.
You want Jedi ugly?
Corso's feet finally touched down.
Well, you missed one, you piece of
Corso was cut off as the Vong swung his amphistaff with blinding speed, nearly catching Corso in the throat. The time for banter had ended. Within the confines of the embrace of pain, Darius closed his eyes, trying to clear his mind to no avail. As he reopened them, his brother had been replaced by himself, looking as he had the day he had nearly failed, the day he had killed his brother, gloating. With a flash, another entered the scene. He could make out the shape of a man with a lightsaber in rebel gear leaping into the chamber. Traven? He had not abandoned Darius yet. If the sight of himself with lightsaber drawn standing face to face with his brother struck Darius as odd or out of place, the surprise at the image was quickly drowned out as a torrent of emotions and memories flooded his mind. Darius stood on the cliffs of Ragesh, his brilliant red lightsaber, made crimson matching that of Lord Darth Vader, pressed against his brother's blue blade that made eerie contrast with the sunset beyond. His brother had given him a good battle. Darius would have expected nothing less. He knew Traven must be fully aware of the futility of his resistance, but he would not offer his brother a way out before the end. No trite offer to join him.
Why bother? The Alliance has left Yavin. Any day we'll find your leadership's new hiding place. It'll all end in fire very soon.
So I should, what, join you?
Never. Just die quietly in his memory.
Not likely. Uh-oh, looks like someone's been playing behind the Moff's back. Hate to see you executed, Darius. Failure can do that.
I do not fail.
How dare he presume to call Darius a failure? He who had abandoned Darius and their father to the mercies of invaders. He who had held Darius back and let their father, his father, not Traven's by blood, fall. He had no right to say such a thing. No right, no justification. His memory flashed. He held Traven with the force, off the edge of the cliff, above the ocean below. And he released. Traven Kova fell, flailing, toward the waters below. Darius had not failed. In the embrace, Darius groaned. In mid-stroke, Corso deflected another attack from Dikon's weapon. Leaping out of the way of another slash, Corso thought he could hear Darius groaning.
Darius! Fight it, man! Snap out of it!
He was standing in the Emperor's personal audience chamber. In front of him stood a fitting droid, with crimson guardsman armor, his armor soon, hanging from its frame. Behind him stood his mentor, his guide, his lord, Darth Vader. Across from him, beyond the droid, sat Palpatine himself. He had trained hard for this day, for the day when Lord Vader would deem him worthy of being presented before the Emperor for his final dubbing as a full Dark Jedi, a member of Palpatine's Imperial Sovereign Protectors. Darius kneeled, his lightsaber with its new gem for its new crimson blade lying on the floor in front of him.
"Rise, Darius Kova, my son,"
the Emperor rasped. From behind the Emperor, two previous initiates, one unknown to him and one whom he recognized in the Force as Karnor Jax, stepped forward.
"Rise and take your place among my protectors. You are now mine, body and soul."
Darius looked up into His Majesty's eyes.
"Yes, my master."
Darius's mind swam with images, completely oblivious to the duel raging across the floor meters away. Yes, his master, Palpatine. What had become of Palpatine? In his mind, he again heard his brother's voice.
"What about you? Look at you! The Empire destroyed our home!"
In the central chamber, Corso dodged a horizontal slash from Dikon's amphistaff, flinging himself backwards, whirling up onto and over the scaly surface of the biomass computer. He used the force to rebound his heels from the wall again, whirling past the Vong toward the far corner of the room. Deacon followed, leaping through the air with saliva-dripping teeth bared in a feral growl. Corso switched over into blaster mode and fired at the Vong, but the warrior's living body armor deflected the blast away from him to strike in a nearby refuse pile, leaving a smoky stench of rot in the air. Corso could make out the outline of Darius's lightsaber on the refuse pile, and wished his comrade could be down there right now watching his back. As it was, Corso's stamina was wearing thin. Only the Force could keep him going if this lasted much longer. In the embrace, Darius's pain-racked body convulsed as he coughed and blood fell from his lips to the floor. Through broken lips, with parched throat, Darius gasped and spoke what was gibberish to all but himself.
If he dies, blood or no blood, I'm coming after you.
Darius had said it and meant it at the time. Then he had left his brother lying on the grass of Sylvina III as he ran back into the family compound to save his father. With a crack and a sound like a muffled explosion, the ceiling gave way over Darius. It would take hours for the fire to burn itself out. It would take days for him to call upon the Force to blast his way free of the rubble. It would take him years to exact his revenge. He could almost see his brother's face as they trained his children.
Brother. Draven.
Darius said from under the rubble.
Help me.
From his vantage point in the embrace of pain, held against a wall against his will, Darius attempted to again focus on the duel raging before him. He could see the Yuuzhan Vong, Commander Deacon. No. Himself. Waging a one-man war upon Corso. No. Traven. The duel raced across the floor as the two circled each other, striking as they went, gyrating toward the center of the room. The Jedi took blow after blow upon his saber, delivering blow after blow upon Deacon's ampastaff. Neither gave ground. Neither gave in. And neither could survive if he blinked at the wrong moment. The attackers morphed into two predators, circling each other, striking as they could. Within moments, Deacon found he and the Jedi in the center of the room. He struck again, finally charging forward. He growled in the god's chosen tongue toward the man with the lightsaber.
Give yourself to us, Jedi. Your capture will please the Shapers. Your sacrifice will please the gods. And your death will please me.
As the Vong snarled something in his tongue, Corso kept up his defense. As he did so, the Vong seemed angry with his lack of response and lunged. Finally, the two stood face to face, blade and amphistaff locked in between them. Deacon's muscles pulsed with unrelenting power. He snapped at the Jedi.
I do not believe you heard me, heathen.
In the embrace, Darius watched, as a Darius of decades earlier, was it really him? Charged against Traven. Wasn't he dead? From the same time, the day of his death. Just as he had on the cliffs of Ragesh. Was this Ragesh? The Darius held the Traven, saber to saber. He heard one of them speak, his mind automatically translating. In his mind, the translation became distorted, changing and ringing in his ears.
It'll all end in fire very soon.
His vision seemed to clear, bringing the past into focus and forcing the present duelist aside. He, this phantasm he that could not be, was about to kill Traven. Again.
No.
Locked weapon to weapon, Deacon saw his opportunity. He flexed a muscle within his face, sending a burst of liquid poison from the center of his right false eye. The Jedi didn't see it coming. Corso's mind shrieked with an unreleased scream as a spray from the Vong's eye met his cheek. Whatever the substance was, be it poison or acid, Corso was struck by great pain from the impact point and could smell burning flesh. As he recoiled, his eyes flicked upwards to the Vong, just in time for the Vong to slam him in the face with the butt of his amphistaff. Darius cringed as he saw himself. Ragesh, Darius. Butt Traven in the face with the hilt of his lightsaber. On all fours on the floor of the central chamber, Corso moved toward where his lightsaber had fallen with a blow to his face. Before he could grab it, the Vong kicked his balancing arm out from under him, sending him rolling. His eyes fell upon Darius, upside down from his vantage point.
Darius?
Darius now looked upon Darius then, as Traven pleaded to him.
Darius! Save me, brother!
Darius tried to move in the embrace and was struck with another flash of pain.
I can't.
Darius slash Deacon struck Traven slash Corso across the face with a glancing blow from his lightsaber slash amphistaff. In front of Darius's eyes, floating in the space between the duel and where he was held by the embrace, Traven's face appeared, 10 times larger than in life. The Traven head berated him.
You do not fail, Darius. Isn't that what you told me? Raise your sword against yourself, brother. Save me!
Darius couldn't think straight. Then his eyes fell upon a glint of metal on the far side of the room, his lightsaber sitting upon the refuse pile on the other side of the duel from him like so much garbage, what might as well have been galaxies away. Darius twitched his fingers.
I cannot reach.
And without your lightsaber,
the Traven face snapped,
without the instrument of your hate, of your guilt, you are nothing, aren't you, Darius? Nothing!
Darius stared into his brother's eyes, hopefully. Could he be right? On the floor, Corso rolled toward his blaster foil, finally picking it up and igniting it. He rolled to his feet and swung it at the Vong, who parried with his amphistaff. The Vong continued the motion to slam the fanged end across Corso's arm. Corso lost his grip on the saber and felt it slip from his grasp, just as the Vong continued in a violent slash, cutting into the blaster foil. The weapon's power cell exploded, sending a blinding flash outward, temporarily blinding Corso, leaving him at the Vong's mercy. From the embrace, Darius was startled by a sudden flash amid the duelists. In the wake of the flash, Traven's giant face faded from his vision, to be replaced by another vision of himself, this time from the day Vader came crashing down upon the Cova home on Sylvina 3. He was so young at the time. The vision spoke to him.
Without family, we have nothing. We are lost.
Another Darius seemed to emerge as if out of fog behind Sylvina Darius. It was himself, again as he was on Ragesh that day. This new vision spoke.
With the Emperor gone, we have nothing. We are lost.
The two Dariuses stepped apart as another Darius, this time as he was now, a Kiss Darius, stepped forward between them. The third vision spoke.
With nothing but guilt in our heart, we have nothing. We are lost.
In the middle of the room, Darius, Deacon, his mind tried to say, struck Traven. Corso, his instincts tried to scream, again. The three Dariuses before him stared into him with a mixture of pity and accusation.
Where are we going? Whom do we serve? What are you?
Darius focused on their accusations, pushing past his guilt, pushing beyond the chains of his past to focus on the present. With one focused, battering ram of will, he screamed across the chamber to echo through the caverns.
I am my own master!
Even as he cried his declaration, Darius embraced his dark side years, drawing upon the power of the dark side of the Force to send furious force lightning through the embrace of pain, frying both it and himself simultaneously. He reached into himself, and embraced his light side years, the time spent under his father and now in his atonement. He let the light side absorb the furious energies into his body and bleed them out harmlessly, feeding them back into the embrace, increasing its pain. Finally, the embrace succumbed and with a final thrust of the Force was blasted into ash. Darius felt himself falling then, his vision clearing of the Dariuses and the false Traven and Darius covering Corso and his attacker. Even as he was falling, he saw Corso helpless on his knees in front of the Vong as Deacon reared back with his amphistaff held high. Darius's feet touched the floor as he dropped into a crouch. Closing his eyes, Darius thrust his hand forward toward the two duelists, focusing the Force on the far side of the room across from them. With a flash of reflected light, his lightsaber leaped from the refuse pile, exploding with a snap hiss into its full violent glory as it sailed through the air, twirling as it severed Commander Deacon's head from his shoulders, with the sound and smell of instantly cauterizing flesh. The lightsaber, sailing parallel to the floor, slammed home into Darius's outstretched hand. Darius opened his eyes, reflecting the saber's brilliance in a glowing stare of determination.
I am a Jedi.
Chapter 10. Escape. A few minutes later, a weakened but invigorated Darius helped a wounded Corso to the surface. Corso's vision was returning, but even the Force couldn't heal all of his wounds in time for him to escape without Darius watching over him. Darius led Corso to where the Dream Reborn was cloaked. As they walked, Corso struggled between breaths to speak.
I have to get out of here. My ship, coming on timer, set to self-destruct when it reaches the matter stream.
Darius was relieved to hear him speaking again.
Nice plan.
Corso attempted a smirk.
Yeah, well.
Returning from surveying the progress of the Quemos, Montel saw the welcome sight of the new quarry. He crouched behind a boulder in anticipation of taking two new Jedi lives for young Yamka. Finally, they reached the cloaked Dream Reborn. Darius reached into his belt for the ship's remote, But even as his thumb reached for the button to decloak the vessel, another Yezhenvang warrior sprang out from behind a nearby boulder. Corso was the first to see him, but before he could react, Levong had slammed bodily into them both, sending both Jedi in opposite directions, and the ship's remote across the ground to fall a few feet from Corso. Darius rolled and came to his feet. Levong was upon him before he could reach his lightsaber. To his side, he thought he saw Corso grab the shuttle's remote. Darius delivered a swift kick to Levong's stomach before Levong lunged again, getting a grip on Darius's shoulders, then his neck.
Corso, go!
He yelled, but Corso was not where Darius thought he would be. Even as he banished the notion that Corso would abandon him, Darius heard a familiar whir of a boarding ramp. He reached out through the Force and received a reassuring touch back. Looking into the Vong's eyes, Darius smirked.
Your comrades are waiting for you.
Darius dropped backwards, allowing his legs to fall out from under him as he fell flat onto his back, leaving the Vong standing above him.
Now!
Behind the Yezhenvang, the air seemed to shimmer as the Dream Reborn decloaked to fill Darius' vision beyond his attacker. As the ship decloaked, the port nose cannon came into line with the Vong's torso. In the cockpit, Corso's hands tightened on the firing controls.
Bang!
His finger twitched, and a blast of energy ripped the Vong apart. The heat washed over Darius as he let it bleed away from his body as he had in the embrace. He took a moment to smile to himself before his eye caught what could only be a faint glimmer of an approaching ship. Darius scrambled to his feet and into the Dream Reborn, settling into the cockpit as Corso piloted them away from the cursed moon of Kallakas. As they sped away from the moon, the incoming ship, Corso's Forerunner, flashed past them. Running on automatic, it cut thrust and glided into the matter stream between Moon and Quemoth, exploding as it came into the matter stream's path. The resulting chain reaction of explosions burst forth away from the moon, burning the collector creature in orbit and boiling its organs to bursting, even as a line of explosions traveled down the matter stream and into the moon's core, wiping out all the core material and nearly vaporizing much of the moon's interior, leaving the remaining mass of the moon to begin collapsing in on itself. But, as Darius predicted, sending no debris to endanger Kallakas. Mission accomplished. Epilogue. A Parting of Ways. 2 days later, the Dream Reborn arrived at the edge of New Republic space. Patiently waiting was another ship, not quite as advanced, but every bit as welcome a sight as any Corso had seen in recent memory. After a few minutes for docking procedures, the airlock cycled open. Standing on the other side was the most beautiful woman Corso felt he had ever seen, or ever would see again. His wife, Cira Dawn Vale. With mutual laughs and smirks worthy of their early rebel days, husband and wife embraced. Darius viewed the two longtime loves with a pang in his heart. On the way back, Corso had asked him about his own wife, Arianya. The more Corso spoke, the more Darius realized he had been blind. Arianya loved him, more than he had let himself admit. He had been so guilty over Traven that he hadn't let anyone close enough to be truly family, but he knew that Arianya desired that closeness, and, he had realized with astonishment, so did he. He would make up for his years of blindness when he returned to Lishador. Maybe it wasn't too late to get things right. He was startled out of his thoughts as Corso turned toward him, leading his wife closer by the hand. Corso nodded to Darius.
Cira, meet Lord Dariaskova, Jedi Knight.
Cira gave a slight bow of respect, surprising both Corso and Darius.
A pleasure.
Darius took Cira's hand and kissed it, as was custom. With a smile and a kiss on Corso's cheek, Cira turned to head back into her ship.
I'll set our course. Don't be too long.
As she left, Corso clasped hands with Darius.
You could come back with me, you know. With the war on, we could use all the Jedi we can get.
Darius was moved, but knew his life lay elsewhere.
Perhaps another time. I have my own responsibilities.
As Corso turned to leave, Darius handed him a cred stick. Corso raised an eyebrow.
What's this?
Repayment. You sacrificed your ship to save our lives. There should be enough there to buy you a nice new model. But there is one other request I must make.
Corso looked at the cred stick, surprised.
Anything?
Darius looked to the deck, then back up at Corso, seeming to shed years in doing so.
Is there a place among you where the Jedi are remembered, where the fallen are memorialized?
Corso nodded.
Yeah, a memorial in the Jedi Center on Coruscant.
Corso knew the request before Darius said it.
I have included a bit extra. Please, place a marker there for my brother. He deserves that much.
Yeah, he does. It would be an honor. Perhaps he has found peace.
Darius smiled knowingly.
He found peace long ago.
As Corso turned to leave, both Jedi bound for their own lives, Darius thought aloud.
And I have found myself.
You've been listening to a Chrono Radio presentation of Star Wars, Everything Changes, a sequel to the Nothing Changes audio drama from Razor's Edge Audio, starring Matthew Gordon as Darius Kova, Michael Sheridan as Corso Vale, Brian Bassetti as Traven Kova, Ian Bowie as Commander Deacon, Deanna Atkinson as Joel Antar and Cira Vale, Jeff Driscoll as the Prison Guard, and Nathan Butler as Shokan Lan, Lon Tell, Emperor Palpatine, and the narrator. Written, directed, and mixed by Nathan Butler. Based on the Prelude to Hope Forgotten Knights concepts developed by Nathan Butler from concepts and characters originally created by Devin Reed. Star Wars Everything Changes is a non-profit fan production produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Star Wars and any other copyrighted materials herein, including any music and sound effects, are reserved to their original creators. No infringing claims are intended. The writer and director would like to thank Devin Reed, Chris Newsom, Ryan Jordan, Chandler Morse, Megan Russell, and everyone else involved in the original creation of Star Wars Prelude to Hope, its prequel comic, From the Ashes, and its sequel short story, Forgotten Knights, all of which gave birth to Nothing Changes and Everything Changes. Extra special thanks is extended to Craig Moore, whose wonderful artwork would have graced the pages of Prelude to Hope From the Ashes, and whose concept sketches gave birth to the looks, feels, and dynamics of characters in Forgotten Knights, aka Everything Changes. And Steve Fluhart, the mixer who stepped up to the challenge of completing Nothing Changes, bringing that original Prelude to Hope storyline to life in a new form. Thank you for listening, and may the Force be with you. StarWarsFanWorks.com, the home of Star Wars fan audio on the internet. It's your home for Star Wars fan audio genre news, a comprehensive catalog of fan-made Star Wars radio shows, parody tales, and serious audio dramas. With behind-the-scenes features, a message board, reviews, tutorials, convention coverage, an internet movie database-style directory of the entire Star Wars fan audio community, and the only fan audio community-recognized Star Wars Fan Audio Academy Awards held each year. StarWarsFanWorks.com. Fandom has a whole new sound.